Cameron makes the catch. Mason Miller, his 13th save, results in an A's win. They win 7-5. They snap that 9-game losing streak.
Yep, the Royals lose to a team that had lost 9 in a row. Welcome to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. A's snapped the 9-game skid, 7-5 win over the Royals in Oakland last night. A's are up 2-0 in the first. Nick Lofton, first career homer with the Royals and his first career homer in the big leagues. I tied the game up, but Oakland responded, and they're up 7-2. Alec Marsh, who was so sensational his last time out, six innings of no-hit ball against the Yankees, was equally bad as he was good his last time out. Just didn't have it last night. Gave up 7 runs on 7 hits, 2 walks, just 3 innings. Matt Cocchiaro, manager of the Royals, on his 5th starter.
Pitch count got up there, you know, right from the get-go. Walked the leadoff guy, you know. Really bowed his neck there in the second to get the 3 punch outs, or no, that was the 3rd, sorry. But then, you know, thinking about it now, I almost should have probably treated that like a reliever that got out of a high leverage spot. You know, he probably used everything up right there in the 3rd. You know, pitch count was up near mid-60s, and it was hard work. Stuff looked fine, just didn't command it as well as he normally does.
Royals are 41-33. At one point there, they were 39-26. That means they lost 7 of the last 9. A's are 27-48. Game 2 of the 3 games set tonight, 8:40. Cole Reagan's 4-4. ERA 3.14. His record should be better than it is. He hasn't had a lot of run support. He's had some no decisions. I would argue that he could easily be 8-2. But instead, he's 4-4. Seth Lugo's had a little bit more run support. He's 9-2, I believe, now on the season. So, you know, they consider the whole thought was Reagan's was going to be the possible Cy Young Award winner, the sleeper pick out of the American League. Reagan's would be the Royals' ace. And honestly, he's pitched like a 1 or 2 starter. And when you want to bounce back from a tough loss to a team that had lost 9 in a row, you want to stop any kind of skid, you want your ace on the hill. And some would say Seth Lugo is their ace, and based on his numbers, that would be true. But I think Cole Reagan's has ace stuff, so that's a good guy to put out there tonight.
Yeah, the last couple starts for Lugo have not been the best either, so he's, you know, going through it too. So there's going to be those ups and downs, and yeah, Reagan's is a guy that you know has been pretty consistent since he started pitching for the Royals as a starter. So you like to see that, and hopefully they can. Yeah, definitely. You don't. This is the exact opposite of what we were talking about yesterday, right? Losing to a team that had a 9-game losing streak going in. So this is you need to stop it, and you need the stopper like a Reagan's or a Lugo, whoever that might be, to go ahead and make sure that this doesn't turn into something that is detrimental to your goals.
Yeah, at the same time, I mean, you lose, 162 games, you played 74. Yeah. Even if you got swept by the A's, is it the end of the world? No, somebody will treat it that way, but no, it's not the end of the world. You can be great, like we saw Alec Marsh last time out, and the next start be as bad as he's been all year. The Royals, we saw it. They won, 7 or 8 in a row, and they turn around and lost 4 out of 5. I mean, it happens a lot. You can sweep one of the best teams in baseball and then get swept by one of the worst teams in baseball. Happened many times over the years in MLB, and so it's a marathon, not a sprint. We said that 1,000 times over the years, no doubt, here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. In 30 seconds, we're going to flashback in time. If you don't know already, that I'll be leaving here pretty soon. My last day on the air will be next Friday, and so I've been going through a few of the archives, and I found some cool stuff with Mike, and I Dusty didn't even know what I'm going to play, so I'm looking forward to playing some of the stuff from our old news director Mike Schrant when Dusty and I had some banter with him. And then we're going to talk about the Royals and the Chiefs. Could they be moving to the state of Kansas? Plus, maybe the greatest baseball player that's ever played the game passed away yesterday at the age of 93 in the College World Series and the Stanley Cup Finals. Florida was ready to pop open the champagne. Instead, they got to go back to Canada.
I'm Elijah at Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Did you know that we sell tires? We also perform alignments and all the other services that go along with them. We handle all the top brands, extras like road hazard warranty, complimentary tire rotations, and complimentary tire repairs are available for purchase on most tires. Right now, we are offering $80 off when you buy a set of 4. Call or stop by Kiefer Brothers Automotive for fast, friendly tire services today. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit or on the web at KieferBrothers.com.
It's time for the news. Here's our news director, Mike Schrant. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Wade. Good morning, everybody. This newscast is brought to you by the North Central Kansas Technical College with campuses in Beloit and Hayes. Come build a career. I'm I'm Mike Schrent. I'm going to do the news. Read the wrong line there. Could you tell?
That was the Ron Burgundy moment for Mike back in 2010. Mike might have been Ron Burgundy before Ron Burgundy was Ron Burgundy. I don't know. So we're going through some memories here and things like that. And one thing about Mike, if you're a loyal listener to our show and our radio station over the years, Mike would say certain things that he didn't realize came across kind of in a weird or odd or gross or dirty or funny way.
And I've watched parts of your body recess during that time.
Sometimes the things you say just don't sound right when they come out of your mouth. And that was another one of those examples of something Mike said. There should be a whole segment that we should do. Things that Mike said he didn't realize how they sounded till they were already out of his mouth and through the airwaves on KD Country 94.
It's completely accurate.
It didn't sound good. Oh, that's all I know. Hey, I love hearing my name on the radio, even if I have to share airtime with Schrant.
Wow. Thank you, Matt. Hey,
what? You're getting all kinds of shots here left and right. Got to put on some protection, like the body armor or something.
Oh, yeah.
All the shots you're taking.
Armor-All.
Yeah, Armor-All. Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, put Armor-All on you and see how that protects you. That'd be great. Armor-All.
Make his skin would shine.
It'd make his skin look really, really glisten. He won't put armor on to protect himself, but he's going to put Armor-All on. Well, you'll be shinier than your tires, Mike. Congratulations.
Well, good.
Yeah. Armor-All. It's just like armor, except it's not.
Oh, and then there are times, and ladies and gentlemen, you know, listening to us when we are live, that we never goof up. We never make a flub. We never misspeak. It's always when we record something and delete it so nobody knows about it. Mike had those moments as well.
The 4 hours together was an opportunity for Bornhoff and Hornblum to... The 4 hours together was an opportunity for Bornhoff and Hornblum. The 4 hours together was an opportunity for Bornhoff and Hornblum to learn about the. it's Hornblum. There we go.
Well, if you know that, just say it right. Now, I told you a moment ago that Mike would say certain things that would come out of his mouth that would sound really not appropriate, but that's not what he meant at all, but had no idea how it came across to most of our listeners, and including Dusty and me. This one is borderline PG-13, all right? So this one, let me set it up for you. We had a fundraiser, the Fear of the Beard Challenge, right?
Yes.
And we had that over in Downs. And so the big crescendo, the finale, we had a big event over in Downs. And we were allowing people to bid on who was going to shave off our beards. Okay?
Yes.
Dusty had a beard. Mike had his mustache and a beard. And then I had the beard that I grew. And so we were talking one day on Waterside Wake Up, Mike, Dusty, and myself, about people that were going to try to figure out who was going to shave whose beard. And this is what happened.
Dusty and I will enjoy these frosted cupcakes.
Whoa. When did I get excluded?
When you volunteered Bob to shave off my face.
I think Bob should bid on all three of us. That way he could make it a threesome for the station. He can do you and Dusty, and he can do me. And then that way he can say he got all three of us.
Oh, man.
And he had no idea what he said. That was the greatest part of it.
If what came right after the word threesome didn't come right after that word, he could have, like, smoothed it over and gotten out of it. But he just... Mike was the best at doubling, tripling, and quadrupling down.
He
like,
was.
Just keep it going, man. It's like, I'm trying to fix this. Can't find my way out.
I'll just dig deeper and deeper until I hit the Earth's core. Yes, absolutely. And now he would make fun of me because with the lighting in here and with my forehead, as my 10-year-old loves to make fun of me all the time. And so over the years, I've thinned out a little bit. And so Mike would take his shots about how the lights would glisten off my forehead and whatever. And I would fire back with, there's a lot of people that think your hair is not even real. People think you have a toupee. And so, if you remember, there were certain commercials that Budweiser put together, and this was one I dedicated to Mike.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Really Bad Toupee Wearer.
Mr. Really Bad Toupee Wearer.
More than any neon sign or exploding scoreboard ever could, your chrome dome cover says, "Hey guys, look at me."
What could you be thinking?
You think it looks natural, but it couldn't look phonier if it had a chin strap.
I look at you.
Made of space-age fibers, it can repel anything. Rain, wind, snow, and especially young women.
I don't think so.
So crack open an ice-cold Budweiser, Mr. Stud in a Rug. Then crack open another for that thing on your head.
I don't think it's all straight.
I love that commercial. I played that a few times for Mike. I don't think so.
I remember when it came out, I laughed. And then obviously really? When you made the connection there with all the static you gave Mike about that.
Oh, yeah. It was so much fun. So much fun. So some good memories. What was that? 14, 13, 12 years ago with some of those cuts that I found there in the folder with Mike. And if you don't know, Mike passed away about a year and a half ago due to brain cancer. And we always, man, it just, his laugh always cracked me up. His laugh always killed me. And he could make fun of himself, but yet act like he's offended, but you knew he wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. So, and he would always do anything for you. And he'd also come in, and it would never be a short conversation either.
No.
You know, but that's what made him unique and cool. So.
He tried the thinning hair thing with me one time. Well, yeah, Dusty, you're getting a little thin back there too. And I just, my whole response, there's somewhere there's a cut of it. I'm like, I made my peace with it.
Right.
I know who my grandparents and uncles are on my mom's side. I'm like, I'm not worried about it, man.
I'll accept
it. And then
it.
He never did it again because he knew that it wasn't going to bother me.
Right.
So.
Right. So in regards to these type of things about the thinning hair and whatever, my 10-year-old likes to make fun of me. And so yesterday he took a shot at me again, but he said something about me being 50 and I'm not 50.
Yeah.
And I said, you need to quit mocking me, you know? And, and my wife was in the kitchen. He goes, I'm not mocking you. And I said, you're making fun of me and my age. He goes, I don't do that to you. I said, what do you call it when you make fun of my thinning hair and call me bald? He goes, that's mocking? I'm like, yes, it is. So before he went to bed last night, he said to Alexa, he goes, so I'm going to start here if I say it out loud here.
No, I think you're good.
No dots here. He goes, Alexa, what is the definition of mockery? And it said exactly what I said. I said, see? And so, yeah, it's a little fun banter there. All right, so let's jump back in the sports ticket here, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Still on the show, we'll talk about one of the greatest baseball players ever lived that passed away yesterday, and also the College World Series and the Stanley Cup Finals. We will have a Game 6, which will take place in Edmonton, which I'm sure that's a hotbed for lots of fun things, and I'm sure the Florida Panthers are more than happy to go back there. Not so much. They would have liked to close that last night on home ice and pop the champagne and whatever else and partying all night long. They're going to have to put that off and another plane ride to Edmonton.
Yeah.
So, if you don't know what's going on, let's fill you in a little bit. The Chiefs and the Royals, the Royals want a new stadium. Okay, they put in a lot of money, taxpayers put in a lot of money, Jackson County taxpayers, so many years ago, which was some really nice upgrades to Kauffman Stadium. And here's, I do want to preface this because you and I spoke with somebody yesterday that doesn't understand, and he's like, Kauffman Stadium's a nice stadium, why do they have to have a new stadium? And technically they don't have to have a new stadium. You can put it off, and then you'll keep putting Band-Aids on things. And a lot of times you don't see the cracks. You know, you don't see the issues with a stadium because, one, you've always liked it. You enjoyed going there. So you overlook some of the negatives or you see all the positives, which is a good thing. That's a compliment to you. If you can, I mean, we need more people in the world today in society to see the positives and overlook the negatives. Instead, we accentuate the negatives and we overlook the positives. And so this person yesterday, and I've heard many people say this, well, what's wrong with Kauffman Stadium? What's wrong with Arrowhead? They've invested money. They've fixed some things up, so forth and so on. There are issues with older stadiums as they get older. It just happens. I don't know all the particular issues. But also what we need to understand is that there's a lease that expires at the end of 2030, if I remember correctly. Now, you may sit here and say, well, it's 2024. That's a long way off. Not if you need to have a plan in place, because if you're not going to put... Right. If you're not going to... If you're not going to refurbish your existing stadium like the K or Arrowhead, then what's your next option? Your only option is to, well, there's two options. One is to renew the lease and not do anything to the facility, which the Royals and Chiefs have adamantly said, we ain't signing another lease until we get what we need, whether it's refurbished, especially the Chiefs. The Chiefs are like, we'll refurbish it. We'll fix it up. They're, at least initially, are content with being out there. But the Royals, they want to have a downtown stadium would be preferable, or an entertainment district. And listen, for those people that say, oh my God, what's going to happen to my tailgating and my parking and everything at Kauffman Stadium? First of all, you need to maybe go to some other baseball parks to truly understand how far behind Kansas City is when it comes to baseball and their facilities. Okay. The stadium is fine. And I love Kauffman Stadium. I love the fountains. I think it's unique. I think it's very cool. And I like to tailgate. You can still tailgate at other places, okay? You can make something work. Is it going to be as wide open if you go to a downtown stadium or in other areas? Possibly not. I'll give you that. What is there to do at Kauffman Stadium besides drink, eat, and go into the stadium?
Nothing.
Nothing. Once you're in the stadium, there's the kids' stuff that they did as part of the refurbish last time, the renovations, and taxpayers paid a good chunk of that. They opened up the concourses, and they added the baseball, Royals Baseball Hall of Fame. They added like a stage out there for some mini concerts. They added vendors, and it was a big-time improvement. But outside of the stadium, before the game, all you have is the smell of barbecue, which is fine. I'm not knocking it. I like it. You're hanging out with your friends tailgating. You're on hot asphalt, so on hot days you're burning up. You might have to put up your tents, and you're drinking beer, pop, whatever it might be. That's it. There's nothing for the kids to do other than grab a ball and throw it around. Now, go to Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, I've been there to their new park. Go to Coors Field in downtown Denver. I've been there. Have you? Go to St. Louis's park that's downtown, and they want to build a new one, which they built one didn't seem that long ago. They built a new one downtown. I've been to that. I've been to Texas's brand new ballpark, which is not in Arlington, or it's in Arlington, not Dallas or Fort Worth. But what these entities have in common that I just gave you, and St. Louis is the oldest of those versions. And this has happened other places too. I understand Cleveland's the same way. I've not been to Cleveland. What they have is tons of stuff to do before the game and after the game. You've got concerts, you've got sports bars, you've got big TVs, you got watch parties. Basically, what you have is, if you've been to the Power and Light District in Kansas City, have you been to the Big 12 tournament and all the pep rallies with that wide open space with a whole bunch of sports bars in that little section? That's what the Royals want around their stadium. They want an entertainment complex. They want concerts. They want events. They want tons of stuff for people to do. Because right now, when you go to a Royals game, what time are you going? The gates open an hour and a half ahead of time. So if you get there early, like we did on our Royals bus trip, you have an hour and a half to kill if you get there when the gates open, if you're not going to stay outside and tailgate. You go inside, and if you're a first-timer, there's plenty of stuff to do to fill the hour and a half. But if you've been there multiple times, there's no point going in early. unless there really isn't. You bought your ticket ahead of time. There's no reason to go in early unless you want to beat some lines and get some food. There is no point to go in early except if the kids want to play
Kid play, or maybe he wants to run down and try to get an autograph.
Maybe that.
You know, that's they're doing that again. They kind of stopped that a little bit during the COVID thing, but those are the only reasons.
It. Now, if you've gone to the Atlanta, Denver, St. Louis, and other places, people will, if a game is at 7:10, people will be down there during lunchtime at noon.
Oh, yeah.
Or earlier. And what they'll do, or they'll go down, cut out of work early on a weekday and be down there at 4 instead of 5:30 when the gates open, because they're going to go have a cheaper drink outside the stadium, or they're going to go, or maybe there's some live music. And the other thing, too, is some of these facilities, like Atlanta, they've got a zip line for the kids right there outside the stairwell. It's right inside the gates, but there's stuff to do there. They've got two levels of restaurants and bars. Mm-hmm. There's a stage for concerts and this and that. And so there's a lot of things to do to where if you go earlier, guess what? You're going to spend more money. You're going to have more of a complete fun day, more entertaining day. Okay, now you could argue after a while, once you get tired of that, well, maybe. But that's what the Royals are looking for. And so people that have not really experienced and gone to other ballparks, people that only know Kauffman Stadium for what it is, I understand why you sit here and say, well, they don't need a new stadium. Why don't they just keep what they got? That's a nice stadium. I've been there. You're not understanding the bigger picture. It's called economic development. There is no economic development at Arrowhead or at Kauffman. The only economic development is within the stadium itself. There, you had a Denny's burned down. You have a hotel that had a water park inside the hotel closed down. You've got a Taco Bell and a couple of gas stations. Does that really draw people in? No. Okay. So if you can build, and so when people come up with a price tag of $1 or $2 billion for a new stadium, that's not for the stadium. That's for the stadium in the entertainment district. That's the whole concept of building it.
Yeah.
Okay. And they will come. You build it, you will have vendors come in. Like, all you got to do is look at Kansas Speedway. You put up Kansas Speedway, and now you got Nebraska Furniture Mart. You got a major League Soccer team. You've got tons of restaurants. You got Great Wolf Lodge. You got tons of stuff out there. I remember when there was nothing out there, okay? Or I remember when it was basically there were people who lived in that whole area.
Yeah.
I know. I was working when they in Kansas City out of college when they came up with the idea of a Kansas Speedway. You build it, they will come. The Royals know this. Now, what the Royals need to find out is we're not going to have anything different where we are. I mean, all these years, nothing has developed other than a whole bunch of asphalt and concrete for people to park and to tailgate. So this is not going to change here. And we want something new. We want an entertainment district. And they wanted to get caught up with the modern times. For people that don't go outside of Kansas City to a baseball game, you might have a hard time understanding that. But that's the whole idea. And I've been one of those people that I've always stressed this. I am proactive instead of reactive. I can't stand people that sit on their ass and wait for things to happen. I'm not a fan of that. If that's the way you roll, good for you. But I'm going to beat you. If I'm going head against you, I'm going to beat you in a competition. If I'm proactive, you're reactive, more than likely I'm going to kick your butt. Because by the time I've cast my first stone, I've delivered my first punch, you're going to be reeling on your heels. And that's what reactivity is. You're on your heels.
Mm-hmm.
And think about sports. In any kind of sporting event, are you better off on your toes or on your heels?
Probably your toes.
Yeah, and that's called being proactive.
Moving forward.
You're being proactive. So the Royals, I could argue they've been too reactive all along. But they're being proactive now and saying, listen, this lease is going to end in about 6 years. The Chiefs as well understand that. But the Royals are the one that are pushing for a stadium more so than the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
So the Royals and the Chiefs work together a little bit, and you and I have talked about this off the air. The Chiefs kind of were like, "Well, we'll tag along because if the taxpayers vote this initiative through in April, which happened in April, if they vote this through, then heck yeah, we'll take the money." So the Chiefs are like, and the Royals knew that if they could tag the Chiefs along, they had a better chance of passing it. Okay, well, they're the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. They have the greatest player on earth in football, in Patrick Mahomes. You can argue that all you want, but they have. They have Travis Kelce and his girlfriend Tay-Tay, and then Andy Reid, and you got they're the epitome of success now in the National Football League. So the Royals, we got the Chiefs to tag along a little bit. And the taxpayers, the voters of Jackson County, overwhelmingly shot down the initiative in April, which was going to require them to pay a good chunk of money to pay for upgrades for this, that, and whatever else, or to build something in that in Jackson County, whatever it was. I don't know all the details in front of me. But the point was that it was on a ballot, and it got shot down big time. Wasn't even that close, which I think surprised the Royals, and it surprised the Chiefs a little bit. So the Royals didn't have to go to Plan B. The Chiefs really didn't have to go to a Plan B. They kind of tagged along. The Chiefs know that they can stand on their own and probably get what they need to get eventually. So the Chiefs and the Royals said, we're not going to sign a long-term lease past 2031 or whatever it is, 2030, 2031, unless we get what we want. The Chiefs want a lot of upgrades. They want to, you know, be modern. And so it sounds like they're content to stay where they are, but they ain't going to rule out if somebody builds them a brand new stadium. Mm-hmm. They'd be nuts to not listen. And so the state of Missouri, from the outside looking in, and there are people that cover this on a regular basis, people that I appreciate and I know and I respect that cover this in sports talk radio and sports reporters of Kansas City, that have flat out said, listen, you can sit here and you can vote down initiative. You don't want to pay more taxpayer dollars to build a new stadium or do renovations to this. And that's fine. You have a right to vote that way. And I understand why people vote that way. But keep this in mind. The Chiefs and Royals will have options. And many people believe the option, of course, is always the threat of relocating. And relocating usually means you're going to a whole nother state.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at Seattle Supersonics relocate Oklahoma City. We've seen teams relocate. The Raiders relocate every 2 years, it seems. The Oakland A's are going to relocate to Vegas in a few years. It happens. Kansas City Kings. Kansas City has already lost a professional franchise over the years. If you didn't know, in the 80s, they lost to Kansas City Kings. They had an NBA team. If you're young
NHL
people.
NHL team, too. Kansas City Scouts.
That's true. The young people don't know these things, yeah. Probably. So the Kansas City's lost at least two professional sports franchises. And they've
back before that with the Athletics.
Right.
And I mean, there's a long list, actually, even of baseball
Absolutely.
Teams that have left Kansas City.
I think the best one to use for today is the Kansas City Kings,
yeah.
Because then they went to Sacramento. They eventually were in Sacramento.
Yeah.
So that's a relocation from KC to California. So the Royals could easily relocate to Salt Lake City, for example, or who knows where else they would go. The Chiefs clearly could go in a lot of different places. They're highly coveted. So what taxpayers or voters will say that are against voting for that initiative in April, and I get it. I totally get it. I pay enough taxes. I don't really want to pay any more. You know, these are billionaire companies. They have billionaire owners. Why the hell don't they pay for their own stadiums? And I get it.
And for a team that just lost 106
right.
games before the vote.
For the Royals,
yeah.
Right. And I get it. I totally understand it. But the problem is for those people that say, well, I'm fed up, I'm not paying more taxes, and I love the Royals and Chiefs, but enough is enough, and that's just a bluff. They're not going anywhere. There's the mistake. There's the mistake. Because the Chiefs and the Royals, while they might not want to move to another state or relocate, they will do what's best for their company and their organization. It's no different than you as a husband or a wife, a patriarch or matriarch of your family. You're going to do what's best for your family. Are you going to sit and go, well, you know, this town really loves me so much, I'll stay here for them. No, you're going to do what's best for your family. If it ends up being staying, great. But if it means leaving, you've got to consider that. I've done this myself personally. And with my family, with a great opportunity to go elsewhere. It wasn't a decision I took lightly. We didn't take it lightly. And it was agonizing. And it just became too damn good of an opportunity to turn down. And so thus, I'm leaving the station and here. And I'm going to venture into a new chapter in my life as my whole family. We're going to move. It's not going to be easy. That's no different than what the Chiefs and Royals are doing here. The Chiefs and the Royals, you could basically use this analogy. The Chiefs and the Royals are wanting to take care of their organization or their family. The Chiefs and the Royals are looking at the house that they live in and they're saying, you know, it's been a good house, but I think it's time for a new one, or I think it's time for an upgrade. And we'll pay a portion of it, but we also know that this county and this state benefit greatly by us being here. So not only do we benefit by being here ourselves, but so do you, okay? And that's what they say to their politicians. and the leaders of Kansas City or whatever city it might be, in this case, Kansas City. So people want to say, well, we'll call you bluff. We don't really need you that much anyway. But then all of a sudden get all riled up because Kansas comes riding in on their white horse trying to save the day. So the state of Missouri voted down, or Jackson County taxpayers voted down an initiative. And I will admit, the Royals and Chiefs, it wasn't like the greatest plan. It wasn't very specific. And I don't blame taxpayers for voting it down at all. But there are repercussions to the results of something that does or does not pass when you are voting and it's on a ballot, right? There's consequences for us voting for the wrong president or governor, or there are good things if we voted for the right one. Mm-hmm. There's consequences if it's an issue, whether it's a school bond, whether it's a particular thing tied to your town, your city, your county, your schools, your hospital, you want to build a hospital. There's consequences if you don't vote to build a hospital. Now you might not have health care in your community. Mm-hmm. There's also consequence you build one, you got to pay more taxes. There's consequences no matter how the vote goes. But the consequences for Jackson County and for the state of Missouri is that when that initiative was voted down, even though it wasn't a very well presented one, I can tell you that. And I do think that Royals and Chiefs thought they could shove one through, and they couldn't. But the thing is, the Chiefs and the Royals have lots of options. What does Missouri have option wise now? Cass County, yeah, to the north, downtown. They're talking about the old Star building. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I will tell you this right now. Guess who's proactive? Guess who's been reactive? And guess who's now proactive? The state of Missouri, or specifically leaders of Kansas City, have been somewhat reactive. The state of Kansas is being proactive. If you don't know what is taking place, let's fill you in. In the ongoing saga of where the Chiefs and Royals will be playing their games in the future, Kansas state legislators approved a bipartisan plan yesterday that looks to lure the Chiefs and Royals to their state from Missouri. The bill was passed and sent to Governor Laura Kelly, who is all but going to sign it. The plan would allow Kansas to issue bonds that could cover up to 70% of the cost of new stadiums in the state for the Chiefs and Royals, and would also encourage both franchises to move their practice facilities to the state of Kansas. The bonds would be paid off over 30 years with revenues from sports betting, Kansas lottery ticket sales, and new sales and alcohol taxes from shopping entertainment districts around the sites of the new stadiums. The votes were 84-38 in the House, 27-8 in the Senate in favor of the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, for you to get an overwhelmingly passed vote in both the House and the Senate and any state government or federal government is one hell of a miracle. And that's what's happened. Governor Laura Kelly's statement on Twitter that I have here, she says, and I quote, "I pledge to work with members of both parties on policies that are beneficial to Kansas. The bipartisan effort to invite the Chiefs and Royals to Kansas shows we're all in on keeping our beloved teams in the Kansas City metro. Kansas now has the opportunity to become a professional sports powerhouse, with the Chiefs and Royals potentially joining Sporting KC as major league attractions, all with robust revenue-generating entertainment districts surrounding them, providing new jobs, new visitors, and new revenues that boost the Kansas economy." So, what's the response? This is the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, Quentin Lucas. Tell me if you agree or disagree here.
I will note that it is regrettable that we saw a vote today in the Kansas legislature, a restart of the border war of truce. As I understand the economic incentive border war, you know, we don't have some exception where anything cool that wasn't explicitly written is exempted from it. I think that is regrettable. I think it's short-sighted, and I think the reinitiation of the border war between Kansas and Missouri long-term will be bad for taxpayers in the Kansas City metro. And if you want any such example, look at this very discussion where people are asking, will Missouri copy the exact same tax incentive tools and others?
Okay, a couple things here.
I just read it. I didn't actually hear his tone of voice, yeah, of how he said it, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, dude.
It's like he's looking down at the state of Kansas, like, how dare you, even though you're the one that created the opportunity for the state of Kansas, actually. Here's the thing I look at is, you didn't take care of your business, Mr. Mayor, and that whole tone and what he said makes it sound like he'd rather these teams go to a whole nother, way away instead of going across the border where they would still help his state economically, even though it's technically on the Kansas side. I mean, listen, this is what you get when you're reactive and you don't have a plan. And Missouri, the leaders have failed, okay, in Kansas City so far. Now, maybe they can figure some things out. Frank White, who used to play for the Royals, of course, he is catching a lot of arrows. I forgot exactly what his title is there in Jackson County, but he's been against various things. And the state of Kansas has said, listen, you haven't taken care of these tenants. There's a chance they're going to leave. Governor Kelly flat out shoots straight in that comment. Let me reread it. She says, we're all in on keeping our beloved teams in the KC Metro. She didn't say, we're all in and stealing them from the state of Missouri. He talks about a border war truce. Bob Fesco, who covers sports in 610 and WHB in Kansas City, he's lived there, I think, pretty much his entire life. Bob Fesco, who I believe, I don't know if he lives in Kansas or Missouri, but he obviously, he sits here and he says, this is his comment to the mayor, border war. The vote failed in April. All options are now on table because that vote failed. The goal is to keep both teams in the metro, regardless of what state line it's on. Hardly a border war. Kansas is simply trying to step up and keep our teams here instead of going somewhere far away. So, and so, well, it's regrettable. You know what's regrettable? You didn't do your damn job.
Yeah.
That's regrettable. You're there because
it's
you...
It's regrettable that you're putting it all on the taxpayers.
Right.
That's what's regrettable.
And it's also regrettable that you've allowed this opening for Kansas.
Yeah.
Why not? Any other state would be crazy not to do what the state of Kansas is doing. The state
Absolutely.
Of Kansas is doing exactly what they should have done. In fact, there'd be other states that might have been even more proactive than Kansas might have actually openly, like, lobbied to try to get the vote to fail. The state of Kansas waited for the vote to fail. Kansas, state of Kansas didn't come in and do all this stuff before the vote even happened. They waited, and then they saw it got shot down, and they're like, okay. And they're trying to figure out downtown, Cass County, Jackson County, not probably going to happen. Well, you know what? We're going to get our stuff in order. We might not get the Chiefs. We may not get the Royals. But you know what? We better fire our best shot, which that's what the people in Missouri right there in Kansas City have not done.
Now, you don't think if you went east down I-70 and this situation happened in St. Louis that East St. Louis, Illinois would not do the same thing?
I guarantee they would.
Like if the St. Louis people can't agree to have this in St. Louis, Missouri, and there's this vote that says 70 to 30, no, we're not going to support this, that Illinois wouldn't get in there and be like, hey, come over here.
You don't think Colorado, Oklahoma, or Nebraska would do the same thing in Kansas? If Kansas had a pro team and there's a chance that Omaha thinks they can get them? You don't think that if there was a chance just across the border in Oklahoma or just across in Burlington, Colorado, could get a pro team in Colorado right there across the border instead of Goodland, Kansas? You don't think they would jump on that?
Yeah.
They'd be stupid
Absolutely.
Not to.
Yeah. And it's like, we'll figure, I've been through, I just recently drove through that area of St. Louis, right? Yeah. Okay. They're so close to Illinois, just like Kansas City is Kansas and Missouri.
Right.
It's East St. Louis, Illinois. And it's like, they would be stupid not to try to say, hey, yeah, let's do it.
Right.
I don't think St. Louis is ever going to let it get to that point, obviously, with their baseball team.
Right.
You know, football team was whatever. They moved back to L.A. and all that with the Rams. But that baseball team...
Yeah,
not going anywhere, I don't think. I think the people in St. Louis, Missouri, are probably going to be smart enough to know that. You know, you're talking about them possibly wanting to build a new stadium again in St. Louis. And so it's like, no, it's would you rather have – that's what's wild to me about the comment there from the mayor is like, would you rather have Kansas City, Kansas coming after you or Nashville, Tennessee?
Yes.
Or Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? Like – the border war truce. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't either.
But it's like, dude, do your job and you don't have to worry about that part of it. Like the whole tone of that. But obviously you can see the difference in tone and you don't hear Laura Kelly say it, the governor, but you can tell she's serious about her business here with this.
Yeah.
And proactive about her business with what's going on.
And the state of Kansas hasn't like made this a big secret and it's a surprise attack. I mean, this has been talked about for a long time. I think the most brilliant thing that the state of Kansas has done, and I think, right, listen, I am proud to be in the state of Kansas right now. And I don't care if the governor is Democrat or Republican. I don't have a crap about that. And I haven't for a long time. I want whoever I just want somebody to lead us the right way. I want somebody to, I want our both sides of the aisle to work together. This is something that it's overwhelming majority of support, both Republican and Democrat. So now we're not talking about blue versus red, which is like, we're talking about bringing the blue and the red over to Kansas. The Royals, the Royal Blue. blue, the Chiefs in the red. And so, you know, they, and the state of Kansas may not get it, but at least they're giving it their best shot. And what I think is so brilliant that the state of Kansas has done, and I've talked about this on the show before, there was a long fight for a while against sports betting in Kansas. Mm-hmm. There was a fight for quite some time. And then all of a sudden they came up with the idea, and it passed it pretty damn fast when they're like, hey, we're going to take 80 cents of every dollar on sports betting in Kansas, and we're going to put it into a fund or a bond, and we're going to draw interest, and it will be set aside to do exactly this, to bring companies like the Royals and the Chiefs to Kansas. That was the whole idea behind the, that's what got it over the top to get it voted in to legalize sports betting in the state of Kansas. The state of Missouri still does not allow sports betting. Yeah. So Missouri, and I've got a good friend, he's a Missourian. I mean, he loves the Missouri Tigers. He hates KU. He's not a big fan of K-State. He's in sports radio. He's right there on the border of Kansas and in Missouri there, Lenexa and all that. And he has said, I never thought I'd see the day where Kansas would be way more modern and way more progressive than the state of Missouri. And he mentioned Missouri hasn't legalized sports betting, and now Missouri has a chance to lose their teams to the state of Kansas. Not one, possibly both. Now, I think the Chiefs are going to stay in Missouri. I don't think they're going to come to Kansas. I think the Royals have, there's a chance. I think there is a legitimate chance the Royals could come to Kansas. I could be all wet there. I don't know what the percentages are, nor does it matter the percentages. The point is that the state of Kansas, this is how clever it is. The state of Missouri hasn't legalized sports betting. So if you live like literally in the state of Missouri and you can walk across your street to a place that has legalized sports betting in Kansas and you like to bet on sporting events, but you want to keep the Royals and Chiefs in Missouri and it's important to you, many people don't know this. You walk into Kansas as a Missourian, and for every $100 you spend in sports betting, 80 of the $100 is going against your state to pry the Royals and Chiefs away from your state you live in. I think it is absolutely one of the greatest things I have ever heard business-wise. It cracks me up. And when I heard about it and learned about it, I didn't know about it. I'm like, hot damn, that is the way, yes, to kind of pull a fast one. Now, Missouri could eliminate that very quickly. Missouri could legalize sports betting.
Yeah.
And they suddenly would keep more of that money in their state, and that money wouldn't go to bonds and star bonds and all this to entice the Chiefs and Royals to leave Missouri. And once again, the leaders of Missouri have not been proactive enough, and Kansas is, in a way, kind of passing them by in certain lines of thought. Now, they haven't yet. Kansas has no professional sports teams. I mean, you got the soccer team there. Okay, you got the Team Bodes are there. They're semi pro, whatever. But it is interesting, some of the comments from the state legislature yesterday. One of them, the state of Missouri is known for losing professional sports teams. That is true. Kansas City is. We gave three examples already. But the other line that was said yesterday: no professional team has ever left the state of Kansas. Well, that's kind of funny because it's not like we've had very many. But this
you can also put the Sporting KC in that,
right?
That what we just talked, right, about the state of Missouri, because the Wizards played in,
right,
Missouri.
That's true.
They changed their name to Sporting KC, and they were over in Kansas.
That's right.
So,
and they've done just
add
fine.
That.
They've done just fine.
Yeah.
So the state of Kansas is being very proactive. They've seen an opportunity, and the only reason they have an opportunity is because the state of Missouri / Kansas City or Jackson County has didn't back the Royals and Chiefs about a new stadium or renovations. And I think the wild card to all this, what did the Chiefs do? Because I think deep down the Chiefs were like, we're going to stay here. We'll put a lot of money in this. We'll have a whole nother vote to get taxpayers. They'll kick in. I think the Chiefs know on their own they'll probably be okay to get something accomplished. But the Chiefs now got to be sitting here, and I think they're the biggest beneficiary of all of this, because now they can sit here and say, okay, we're originally going to probably stay here, and we knew the Royals might be going somewhere else in Missouri. Maybe they go to Kansas. But now Kansas coming, and of course the Chiefs yesterday, they came out with a statement, and they said, hey, we're looking at all available options, and we would be pleased to talk with the state of Kansas. That's what you do in business. Whether they even have any intention of going to the state of Kansas, the Chiefs are big-time professional business people. Let me tell you this right now. I've met Mark Donovan, the president of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mark Donovan is not going to do what's best for Jackson County. Mark Donovan's not going to do what's best for Kansas City, Missouri. He's not going to do what's best for Wyandotte County in Kansas. He is going to do what's best for the Kansas City Chiefs organization. That's what he's going to do. And if he decides, along with Clark Hunt and all the higher-ups of the Kansas City Chiefs, and they say, listen, our original plan was to stay here, but all of a sudden, Kansas has really stepped up to the plate. We need to have some more serious discussions with the governor and state legislators and all kinds of people in Kansas about, hey, maybe we should not close the door on that option. Maybe we pursue it. And if it, and if we're happy with their option, we automatically know we can keep the team in the metro area. We're good to go. We're going to be happy with it. And the icing on the cake would be that Jackson County and in Missouri, they just fold like a cheap tent and give us everything we want. Now we don't even have to relocate. We'll just put all this into Arrowhead. We'll have all the tailgating for all the, you know, 8, 9, 10 home games we have a year. Because that's one of the other things about this whole equation. The Royals have 81 home dates. The Chiefs have about 10 home dates, if you count preseason, and of course maybe one or two more with the playoffs. So the Chiefs don't really need the entertainment district around them nearly as much as the Royals do, because the Royals have 81 dates. And when you're not as good, and the Royals lost 106 games last year, and even if you are good, people aren't going to go to every single game. Some people do, but not a ton. You need to find a way to get people to come out different times of the year for the 81 dates. The Chiefs could, right now, honestly, the Chiefs could play in a dump, and they're going to sell out, because the Chiefs are flat out big time. We know this.
They're the ticket.
They're the ticket. They're the hot ticket in town. The Chiefs know that they got the world by the tail right now. The Royals, meanwhile, spent a lot of money on locking up Bobby Witt Jr. long term. They were aggressive in free agency, and they've improved their team. And the reason they did that was, we want to be able to convince somebody that we have a winning organization. We're going to be good again for the first time in basically a decade since we won the World Series in 15. And so they are a little bit more aggressive in pursuing other options. But they also know that they, just like other baseball franchises in Major League Baseball, we need more than just a parking lot. We need a business district. We need an entertainment district. We need stuff around us. And then the other thing that the Royals can benefit from, if they end up owning the land or a percentage of whatever, they can make money off of leasing this to businesses that come in. The Royals can make even more money. Now, the Royals will spend this, and I'm not saying it's untrue. The Royals will say, now, all of a sudden, the more money that comes into our coffers, whether it's through real estate, renting out vending buildings, offices, and entertainment district, whatever the case may be, more people coming to our games, maybe not to watch us play, but to experience the Clive concerts and whatever else, and the Royals get a percentage of that, I don't know what it would be, the Royals can say, there's a whole new revenue stream now. Everybody bitches about how we don't spend enough money. Now we have more money to compete to keep Bobby Witt Jr. or to maybe go get a guy that's going to cost a lot of money for a year and a half to try to get us over the top to win a World Series. That's the spin the Royals will put on it, and I think there's some truth to it. So it's an interesting dynamic when you have two professional sports franchises, one that won a World Series just 9 years ago, another that's won three Super Bowls in the last 5 years and two in a row, and they are the cat's meow, and they really are America's team again, or not again, but now instead of the Cowboys. Sorry, Cowboy fans, but you are what you are. The Chiefs are sitting in a great spot, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Kansas right now has nothing to lose by doing this, in my opinion.
No.
And the mayor can throw out his vile, veil, vague threats about, well, now Missouri could do these type of shenanigans, as he mentioned at the end. And, well, you know what? You should have already done it.
Go for it, buddy.
But come on, buddy. You got your little truce war. Whatever the hell you want to go by. I don't care. I mean, you're the one that created opportunity. Like Bob Fesco said, it's like, this is not a border war. The Kansas didn't come in and undermine you and undermine the vote in April. They're simply going, well, you haven't stepped up. We really want to keep the teams in the area, and we see an opportunity for our state. So it's a win-win all the way around. And the other thing Kansas got going for them is they can come in and look like the hero, and the state of Kansas has a lot of Missourians behind them. I've read a lot of comments, and a lot of Missourians are like, don't agree with Mayor Lucas's comment at all. Mm-hmm. And they've said, listen, this is what you've created. You're upset about it. It's because you didn't do your job. You didn't do what you needed to do, and now the Royals and Chiefs are looking elsewhere, and that includes across the state. You should be thanking Kansas for at least giving us an option as fans of these teams. There, instead of me having to fly to Salt Lake City or Memphis, Tennessee or Nashville, Tennessee, I actually can just drive across the border, spend some money in Kansas City, Kansas. And so I will tell you right now, the leaders in Kansas City and the mayor, they're not having a good day today, because a lot of their own people in their own backyard are going, you can all talk all about, you violated a truce, or, oh, no, it's going to be regrettable. Why are we here? Why are we here? This wasn't just something out of the blue where the Chiefs and Royals said, oh, you know what? We're going to leave. No. They've given you an opportunity. You may say it wasn't the greatest initiative that was on the ballot. I agree with you. But when you, and this is the power that professional sports franchises have, and I know there are people that don't like it, and I get it, and I agree, but there's always going to be somebody that wants the Kansas City Chiefs or the Kansas City Royals. There will always be somebody. Any sports franchise, even if it sucks horribly every year, there will be somebody that wants that professional sports franchise to relocate to their area. So you can sit here, you can get on your high horse and say, enough is enough, I put my foot down, I am not going to cave to these billionaires, and I'm not going to pay more taxpayer money because I'm fed up and I pay enough. And you know what? It is your American right. You've earned the right to vote that way, and there's nothing wrong with you doing that. However, be prepared for a consequence, and the consequence is you may lose your teams. And you can call it a bluff all you want, but these teams know if we don't get what we want, we can get it elsewhere. And it might just be straight across the road in Kansas.
Yeah, I was talking about this when they actually first started talking about and said that there was going to be a bond or a vote on these bonds when you were gone one day. And it was like, in my mind, I'm like, you know, if the Royals are struggling to find something, and they want to move to Kansas, and now it's been voted that we'll support you. I'm thinking in my mind about how perfect it would be for everybody involved just staying right there where everything else is right now, with Kansas Speedway, with Sporting Park, with everything going on.
Yeah.
Business is booming and continues to boom and get bigger and bigger at Legends.
Mm-hmm.
Likely putting in a Buc-ee's out there.
Oh, hallelujah.
There's a Whataburger there. Patrick Mahomes basically brought that in because his jersey's all over the building.
You got apartments now. You got hotels popping
up. And I'm
up.
Sitting here thinking, I'm like right in between where that big Cerner building is off the other side of 435 and where State Street is on the east side. There's a lot of room
if
you wanted to put a baseball stadium there.
Yeah.
And build even more of a district around your baseball stadium that can funnel into the Legends Village, Village Parkway, all that stuff. And then it goes all the way west to Kansas Speedway.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about that's already built for you. Yes. There's not a lot of stuff you actually have to add to that if you're the Royals.
Right.
Put a stadium. And I don't know what the ground situation, who owns all the land out there, if that's a good spot to do it, to put the baseball stadium, but there's room there. There's no question about that. And there's plenty of room to build out, and that's the plan at Legends. Always has been. And it continues to grow. And that's right in your metro area. Kansas City, Kansas changed drastically, like you said, when all that happened, and it started with a little idea that's boomed into something huge. And I mean, if you wanted to, there's room for probably baseball and football stadium out there.
Oh, but I think it's like you can make
I'm
it work.
With you, because I just don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's pretty easy to see that the easiest thing to do, based on even the renderings that the Chiefs put out, is once this baseball stadium is blown out of here.
Yeah.
We've got all this room to do whatever we want out here.
Yeah.
We can renovate, or over here we can just build a new Arrowhead.
The Chiefs could build their own district.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like what you're talking about, they need parking and all that stuff for tailgating, and you can have all that plus add whatever you want out there. If it's restaurants, you're not going to need as much as a baseball stadium probably, because you probably still want to keep that tailgate part incorporated into your experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a perfect size to keep a very, very large amount of parking and to do a few things. Maybe have a concert stage like Texas Live,
which is really cool.
The Arlington baseball field and AT&T Stadium and all that, that's right across the other side of Arlington.
Yeah.
So many things the Chiefs can do, and I think that's like you. I think that's where they're going to end up staying. They're going to figure something out and stay out there. But Kansas is an ideal spot with stuff that's already ready for you to just place a baseball stadium and even continue to build more with the Royals out at Legends.
I tell you, the guys that held on to their farm ground out there are going to make an absolute killing. And I've said this to many people over the years. I'll share this quick story with people. And then we'll get to one of the greatest baseball players ever lived, passed away yesterday, and then also the NHL Stanley Cup Finals and the College World Series before we close the show today. And this is a sports ticket brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. So I graduated college at Pittsburgh State University in 1998. I then worked at KMBZ Radio in Kansas City, mainly in sales. And Vic Dyson was my manager, great, great person. And then I had a coworker. His name was Rick Adams. And Rick and I are about the same age. We're young, you know, all young whippersnappers, lots of energy, so forth and so on. I've never been a big race car fan, never have. I watched it some when I was younger. I watched Cale Yarborough, Bill Elliott, those good days, Richard Petty. I'm not big into NASCAR, although if I had a chance to go to Kansas Speedway in a race and I had free time to go do it, I would. And so anyway, he was a big NASCAR fan at the time. And this is back 1998, 99. And he said, wait, there were talk about building a speedway. And he kept telling me, he goes, Wade, this is going to be huge. He goes, this is going to be unbelievable. He goes, they're going to get people to move out from that area and they're going to build a speedway. And he goes, I'm telling you, this is going to be insane. People have no idea how big this is going to be. And a lot of the talk in Kansas City, because I lived there at the time, there was some fear, and there's a lot of people saying it was a pipe dream. There are a lot of people saying it's not going to work. And Rick told me, and remember, we're fresh out of college, basically. Mm-hmm. So we have student debt. We don't have much money. And he said, I wish I had money because we should go buy some land out there. He goes, and I said, well, the thing is, you don't get a return on your investment, clearly, until it would actually, mm-hmm. you sell it. And so I look back now and I go, man, if I could have somehow convinced my dad, because I didn't have any money, mm-hmm. but my dad had some, maybe I could have, and maybe he couldn't afford it at the time, because at the time it would have seemed high,
yeah.
but it'd been nothing compared to now. And every single damn time I drive by to go to a Royals game, or I'm in Kansas City to visit friends, and I go by and I see the Speedway, and I see the Hollywood Casino, and I see, anytime I'm in Legends, and I see Nebraska Furniture Mart, and I see the water park, and I see all this stuff. Every single freaking time, I feel sick. Because I'm like, dear God, if I would have just bought a little bit, found a way to come up with a loan, probably wouldn't have got a loan myself. I would have had to have some help. That was a problem. And you need to have money to invest and make money. Just didn't have it. Now, I didn't do anything wrong. I couldn't do it. But you look back and you go, wow. And even 5 years ago, you would think it was way too much for land nearby. It's probably cheap compared to now.
Yeah.
So you got to have a lot of money to buy something like that. But Rick told me, he was the prophet. He said, dude, people have no idea how big this is going to be. Now, granted, we're 25 years later, and it takes time to build around stuff. Yeah. But now, 25 years later, we're talking about the Kansas Speedway and all that stuff being out there that actually does make it more attractive for the Royals and Chiefs to come this way. Mm-hmm. If everybody was negative, like Rick said, some people were against it, and they were, and people said and didn't have a vision. There were people that had a vision. That's why the Speedway got built there in Kansas. But if there was no vision, you'd have nothing out there except you still have some houses, housing development, and there's nowhere for the Chiefs or Royals to go to the state of Kansas. So that vision has helped give Kansas the opportunity 25 years later to perhaps grab the Royals and or Chiefs. Proactivity, people. Telling you. You should do it. All right. Sad thing to pass along. Hall of Fame outfielder, the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays, who started for the Giants most of his career, passed away at the age of 93. He was legally blind there towards the end of his life. Willie Mays may have been the best player ever played Major League Baseball. There are people that will argue that, and they would have a good argument. He made 24 All-Star teams. Think about that for a second. 24 All-Star teams. That's a quarter of a century. He won 2 NL MVPs, 12 Gold Gloves, 6th all-time in home runs with 660, 7th in runs scored, 12th in RBIs, 13th in hits all-time. Began his career with the Birmingham Black Barons of the Negro Leagues in 1948 at the age of 17. Played 23 seasons total in the majors, which is weird because he's 24 All-Stars, but he probably had an honorary one there.
Yeah, I thought that was weird to me too when I saw that.
He was enshrined in the Hall of Fame in 1979. And some people believe things go in threes, right? Bill Walton, Jerry West, Willie Mays have all passed away in the last month.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three legends in
absolutely
their sports.
Yeah. There was one season, by the way, that Willie had to sit out because of military duty. I'll bet he was voted as an all-star
probably
the year he didn't play.
Probably was. Now, what's the play that everybody remembers the most about Willie Mays?
The over-the-shoulder catch.
The catch.
Yep.
Mays was one of the most gifted all-around players ever. His signature play and one of the most iconic plays in baseball history was the catch in Game 1 of 1954 World Series. But I've seen video of Vin Scully talking to Willie Mays in 2016. And Vin, they were recording this, somebody, and they just had a conversation like no cameras were there. And Vinny said, everybody talks about that catch. He goes, but the greatest catch I ever saw was another one that Willie made. And Willie says, yeah, nobody talks about that. And Vin says, I do. Mm-hmm. Vin Scully's like, that catch was better than that catch. But context is needed to appreciate the greatness of the catch back in 1954. It was Game 1 of the World Series. First and foremost, the game was played at the Polo Grounds in New York. It was approximately 450 feet to that part of center field. It was 483 feet to the deepest part of center. The cutout to the left of where Mays made the catch. 483 feet. For reference, the deepest center field in Major League Baseball today is 415 feet at Coors Field, and there's altitude for the ball to carry. Mays made the catch at a point approximately 35 feet beyond the center field fence in Colorado. He made the catch running at full speed with his back to home plate, only a few steps in front of the center field wall. That center field wall, once again, was 450 feet or so away from home plate. He went a long, long way to make the catch. And as Willie Mays said to Vin Scully in this video, and I retweeted it, what a lot of people don't realize is he then had to throw the ball all the way from the warning track to get the ball in, which he said was no easy feat. So,
no.
That was an amazing catch, but it was a pretty big one, 1954. He made the catch. It was in the eighth inning of a 2-2 game. Cleveland had runners on first and second against the Giants. Nobody out. If that lands, that's two runs. They're down 4-2, maybe inside the Parker. Mays doesn't make the catch. They probably lose Game 1 of the World Series. Instead, they won the game on a walk-off three-run homer in the 10th, and they swept the World Series. Kind of an important catch. Not bad. Yeah. It was the seventh World Series title in franchise history and the last one the Giants won in New York before they moved to San Francisco in 1958. Willie Mays may have been the most complete baseball player that's ever lived. His defense was incredible, 12 gold gloves. He was third on the home run list for many years. The only people ahead of him was Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron. Then we got a lot of people, some, of course, on PEDs, substances, whatever. We know Bonds is way past. We know other guys, McGuire's past him, Sosa's past him. But legitimately, I think a lot of people would say Willie Mays is still third on this list. He could run. He could catch. His defense, he had an arm. He could hit. He was a leader. He won. He won. He was part of World Series champions. Now, he didn't play great offensively in World Series play, but I just told you one of the greatest catches ever, and it wasn't in a regular season game.
Yeah,
it was Game 1 of a World Series that kind of set the tone for the whole series. Willie Mays, unbelievable player. And how great is he? Major League Willie Mays Hayes. That's all come off of Willie Mays, obviously. And that's one of my favorite movies of all time. So Willie Mays passing away at the age of 93, one of the greatest, and some people will tell you the greatest player that ever played baseball, the most complete player ever to live.
Absolutely. I wish I would have been able to
Me
see
too.
Him play. My dad actually got to see him play visiting my aunt and uncle out when they lived in San Francisco area. Mm-hmm. He always talked about seeing Willie Mays play.
Pretty amazing stuff. Yeah. He was an amazing player, and it sounds like he was an amazing person as well. He was really close to Barry Bonds. He was kind of a mentor for Barry Bonds because Bonds played with the Giants once he got left the Pirates and had obviously a great career, and then, of course, everything else at the end. But so. Willie Mays, rest in peace. College World Series continued with just one game yesterday due to weather. Florida State beat North Carolina. North Carolina eliminated 9-5 was the final. Seminoles move on to face the 1-seed Tennessee at 2 o'clock this afternoon in the winner's bracket. Bracket 2, Kentucky and Florida postponed to 10 this morning. And the winner will move on to face Texas A&M at 6 o'clock tonight in Omaha. So Kentucky, Florida will have to play a doubleheader. One of those two teams will. And finally, the Stanley Cup Finals. I think a lot of people thought, well, you know, this thing's going to be over just like the NBA Finals. Instead,
played out again toward the empty net. This one's on target, and it's swept away by Tkachuk at the last moment, but McDavid scores! Connor McDavid with 17.3 to go sends this series back to Alberta. They will indeed drag the Cats back to Edmonton for a game six.
Man, how disappointing is that? You're ready to have a big celebration. Boston had got theirs. They had the champagne ready to go, and then they got to celebrate. But Florida now has to get on a plane and go all the way to. Not only do they have to go on the road, they got to go to another country. They got to go to Canada again for game six.
Ooh.
They were up 3-0. Yeah. This is what I was saying about the Mavs Celtics. You let a team win game five, that's no big deal. Game four, not the end of the world. You let them win game five. And on top of that, you got to then go to their place for game six. Ooh, suddenly the blood pressure goes up and you get a little bit tighter. And then you're sitting and go, oh my God, we can't blow an 0-3, a 3-0 lead in the Stanley Cup Finals, which, by the way, 3-0 deficits in hockey, that's happened more in hockey than any other sport. It's never happened in NBA. It happened in baseball, as we know, once. But the NHL's had, I think, six, seven, eight times over the history where a 3-0 lead has been blown. I know we looked it up one time. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit more common in hockey. But boy, you sure as heck don't want to do it in the Stanley Cup Finals.
No, that's not the time. You don't want to do it at any point in time. But when you're about to wrap up a title here, and especially for them, for Florida, their first ever. And yeah. You're coming off of last year where you made it and didn't win. Now you're up 3-0 this year. And yeah, you can't be losing that.
There have been four teams, so I over-exaggerate a little bit. There are four teams that have come back from a 3-0 deficit in hockey, but three have happened in the modern era, 1975, 2010, and the last time it happened, the Kings against the Sharks in 2014 in the first round of the playoffs. It's only, of the four occurrences I just told you, only one time out of the four has a team blown a 3-0 lead in the finals.
Yeah.
That was the 1942 Maple Leafs versus Red Wings. The Maple Leafs came back from 3-0 to beat the Red Wings in seven. So Florida's got a chance to make some dubious history. And Edmonton's got a chance to be the first Canadian team to win a Stanley Cup final since, I believe, 93 or 94. I thought hockey was about Canada. What's up with Canada?
Yeah,
man?
It's wild. Well, that's what I talked when we were talking yesterday about the retirement communities, right? And it's so weird seeing like Florida and the LA Kings and
Vegas
San
even
Jose,
having hockey.
Vegas now and Seattle, you know, mm-hmm. is not really. I mean, it's a water town, but it's not a cold hockey town. No. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just wild to see that Canada is not winning hockey, but that proves that.
And they've had a few
free agency trades, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you've got the money in the front office to make the right shrewd moves, it doesn't matter the location that you're playing in because, yeah, Canada is obviously known for their hockey.
Well, and the other thing, too, is they have lost a few teams that have relocated. Because was it Quebec Nordiques? Is that the one that moved to Colorado
and became
the Avalanche? So there's one there.
Well, and Winnipeg went somewhere, and then
they came back
in, an expansion, right. The Winnipeg Jets,
right.
Calgary Flames.
So when we say that Canada hasn't won a Stanley Cup Finals since the early 90s, they don't have as many teams from Canada as they once did competing to win the Stanley Cup Finals or to get to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. All right, that's a wrap on the show today. I don't know where everybody stands on the whole state of Kansas versus state of Missouri thing. I know where I stand, and that is I live in Kansas.
Border war never stopped. Where
I was going to say, there's never. I don't know who the hell made up a truce because I didn't sign it.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.